So I want to welcome everybody to our first AABT workshop, and I hope it will be a successful one. I think it's a topic that everybody's got at least a little bit of interest in. The official name of it, because I had to come up with something more or less yesterday, was Note Takers, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, which we're going to try and cover a lot of that, not in a deeply technical way, but in a practical, common sense, here's what you need to know if you're going to go after these things. So the purpose here is to talk about note takers and really the differences between note takers and personal computers, because although manufacturers will tell you that the note takers can do everything that you ever wanted to do, the nasty reality is that sometimes that's true and sometimes it's not. So because we've got something here that's pretty expensive, you want to be pretty sure when you go to purchase it what, in fact, you can expect and what you can't, so you don't get nasty surprises after emptying your wallet or somebody else's wallet. Give you a little bit of a brief history of note takers. The first ones were introduced in the late 70s and early 80s, and I don't want to try and cover every note taker that's out there because, number one, I don't know if I remember them all, but number two, we might be here for half the night if we do. The very first note takers were extremely difficult to use. They had Braille displays, but they relied on cassette machines for external storage. So you would take the notes that you wanted to take, and then you would plug in your favorite cassette player, hit the record button, hit the save button, and when everything got through, if you were lucky, you actually had a copy of the notes that you had just taken. And then when you shut your note taker down, of course, all that went away. And the next time you needed to retrieve those notes, you had to reload the cassette. And heaven help you if the volume wasn't quite right, or the cassette had a little bit of dropout in it, or you missed queuing up the file. I mean, it was just a very difficult thing to do. So the first people to address that and do a very good job of it was Telesensory Systems with their VersaBraille Classic. Now, again, it was a 20-cell Braille display. The cassette deck for storage was internal to the note taker, and it was controlled by software in the note taker. So when you opened up a file, the cassette deck fast-forwarded the tape to an empty spot on the cassette, opened up the file and sat there while you wrote, and every 1,000 characters it would write out that page and write out a new page, and when you got done it would save the file, and so the next time you could just go to that file by name and load it. So of course that was a huge step forward, and it actually made it possible for people to use a cassette-based system. Now eventually that became the VersaBraille 2 with its disk drive and disk-based operating system, and that was somewhat better because it was faster. You could access a file in a matter of seconds as opposed to however long it took you to get through the cassette. The next significant change in note takers really came about with the Braille and Speak from Blasi. Now, up till then, note takers had used Braille displays, which meant they were beaucoup expensive. I think the VersaBraille Classic cost somewhere around $3,000, if I remember correctly. And the two, I think, cost a little bit more. And most of the cost was the Braille display. Of course, not having a Braille display meant the note taker could be quite a bit smaller. You didn't have a disk drive. You didn't have, no Braille display meant smaller, cheaper, and the introduction of a speech synthesizer to read out the files that you put in there. Price was, of course, cheaper, And the machine was smaller because you didn't have to have a disk drive or a cassette machine. And without the Braille display, it could be just about the size of the keyboard. So that was the next step. After that, not too much changed. Mostly the Braille and Speak was the note taker. And then, of course, that morphed into the Braille Light, where they put the Braille display back in. They still used onboard RAM to store things, so you didn't have to worry about cassettes or discs. And, of course, the price went back up because of the 20-cell Braille display, or actually the 40-cell Braille display, because they had a Braille Light 18 and a Braille Light 40. Well, not too much changed then until the introduction of the HumanWare's Braille Note series, and that was a game changer in that it was the first note taker that had the capability of communicating with the internet. You had to buy a network card. It was sold separately. You put it into a card slot on the side of the machine, and you could, if you were lucky, you could connect to the network. And of course, that also meant that the note taker could browse the web, and it could do email. So this was a significant step upward. And they introduced something called context-sensitive help, which meant that if you were in the middle of, say, entering a file name, and you press the help key, it would tell you what it expected to see in the file name. It would say things like enter the name followed by the extension and a period in between. But if you were doing something else, if you were, say, in the middle of the email program and you press the help key, it might tell you how to navigate the menus. So it kind of knew where you were in the system and tailored the help to those needs. And, you know, that was kind of nice. The next big step in Note Takers was the U2 from HIMS. The Braille Note got more sophisticated, and it got a few more things in it, but it was still basically the same machine. I mean, they finally built the Wi-Fi card into it, but a lot of other things stayed pretty much the same. The word processor still did behave just the way it had. And HIMS kind of took things one step further and said, not only are we going to give you a note taker that does all of the things that you've been used to in your Braille Note, but we are going to introduce things like social media, so you can now get on Facebook, you can now go to Twitter, you can now even do Dropbox, which is a file sharing and storage system that is very popular in the Windows world, and I think in Android as well. After that, next step up didn't happen until this year, really, and that was the introduction of the Polaris and the L-Braille. Now, the Polaris runs on Android, and the L-Braille is a fully functional Windows 7 machine, which I know from experience can be upgraded to Windows 10. And it's a little bit early to decide, I think, about what we can truly expect from those two machines. So, but, you know, they are out, and we're going to see how they grow and work as time goes on. So that's pretty much the history of note takers, and that brings us up to the present day. So, you know, now we have note takers that can play on the internet, and using third-party software, they can do some of the other things like Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, and that we mostly owe to HIMS. So before I go on, are there any questions so far? Anything anybody wants to comment on?
I noticed how you left out the PacMate, which was a disaster. But the Braille Note Touch, would that go into this category of the tablets that come out?
Actually, it would. You're right, because the Braille Note Touch is also one of the new breed of note takers. There really are three, and that was a good call, Carla. And the PacMate, I didn't say much about because, as you say, it was a disaster. And it wasn't significantly different from anything else that was around. And a few people had them, but a lot of people ended up using them for paperweights and or, you know, taking up space in a closet. There were some others, too. I mean, there was Telesensory's strange little note taker, and I don't remember what the thing was actually called.
BrailleMate?
Yes, BrailleMate. Thank you. The BrailleMate was
one cell.
Yeah, one cell, and which I always thought was very strange. And a friend of mine and I started referring to the BrailleMate as single cell anemia.
I had one.
I almost bought one. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. What was the name of the one from Hymns? What did you call it? B2?
No, the U2.
The
U2.
The U2. Okay.
Yep.
And how do you spell that company?
H-I-M-S. Oh, sorry. It's Steve's show. Shut up, Susan.
That's all right.
H-I-M-S.
You can join
him.
We don't mind. Hey, you know, I'll take help from wherever I can get it. And in this case, that was a good place to get it. Okay, so any other comments before we go on? Hearing none. Now it's time to start thinking about where note takers and PCs have been different, because as I said, you know, note takers did a lot of stuff. So let's think about what are some of the reasons when you look at a note taker, what are some of the things that you think of as reasons to want one?
Size.
Okay, size is certainly one, because the largest note taker is smaller than the smallest tablet PC that you can find.
Simplicity.
Okay, that's certainly another one. The Windows can be daunting, and even for those of us that feel like we know what we're doing, and I'm not saying know what we're doing, because I don't know that there are too many of us that really do, but even for those of us that think we know what we're doing, Windows can be a frustrating place to be sometimes.
I find
Braille.
That, oh, sorry.
Yeah, Braille's Reading. One, and you were starting to say, I think, was it Gudrun?
The ease with which you can mix formats when you're writing Braille. For example, you're writing something in English and you have a French word or a Swedish word, and you don't have to do any. You just write the dot combinations that you want, and you know by context what it is. Whether you're writing the sign in the grade 2 Braille or the E accent grave in French or the SZ in German, or whether you're writing the note A, a whole note, you know what I mean?
Right, a musical notation.
That is something that you just cannot even explain to sighted people.
Well,
I mean, they just stare blankly at you.
and that works as long as you are using the note taker completely for your own use.
Exactly.
And you're not trying to print what you just wrote for somebody else to read. That's when things get a little strange.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Now, some note takers have tried, like where I thought you were going with this, but I'll mention it anyway because it kind of does play into it, is the ability to translate on the fly, so that the things you write in grade 2 Braille or contracted Braille, as we are supposed to be calling it now if we're being politically correct, appear when somebody prints the file as actual text, as opposed to what they would look like if you just, you know, fed them the characters.
But if you're multilingual, you get into trouble.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you do.
That's an idea.
And that can be a problem anyway. It's masked a little bit better with a note taker because it's your keyboard and it's your Braille and you can do what you want. And, you know, as long as you're not trying to tell the real world what you just did, there's no problem. With a computer, of course, you've got a typewriter keyboard, and when you type an A, it's an A. You want to type a THE sign, you better know that it's an exclamation point if you're going to do it on a typewriter keyboard. So, okay, so we've got size, we've got ease of use. Anybody?
May I mention one, something else?
Absolutely.
One of the things, I'm a retired TVI, I could take a thumb drive from classroom teacher, put it in my Braille note, and then I could give it to the student to read it in Braille on the Braille note, or I could take it and put it in my Braille note, hook it up to an embosser, and then emboss it without
That's
using
true.
A computer or anything. That made things very easy for me.
Yeah. And again, it's this whole idea of having something that you can carry under your arm, not something the size of a briefcase, but something that's, you know, literally not much bigger than a print book. Walk into a classroom and do what you want. Now, all of these features so far have, you know, are pretty compelling reasons. One that nobody has mentioned too much yet, but I'll mention it because note takers have pretty long battery lives, much longer than you usually get out of a laptop. I mean, I think today's laptops, you can get them that'll give you maybe 8 hours of battery life in some of the small tablets. But note takers, I think you can get at least 12 hours of battery life.
Not only that, you can also, in the case of the Braille note, you can hook it up to a juice box, you know, one of those little charger things.
Right.
That you don't even have to plug it in, and that helps sometimes, too, if you don't have, you're not next to a current. You can just hook it up to one of those chargers. You know what I mean, those portable charger-type things?
Oh, you mean the kind of things that people use for their cell phones and that sort of
thing? Yeah, those things.
Yeah.
You can hook the Braille Note Touch up to one of them if you don't want to plug it in, and it does the same thing. It'll recharge it.
Right.
But do you do that with an Apex, too? Because, boy, I would love that. I would really value
I don't know about the Apex, but
no,
I know about this.
Unfortunately, you can't with the Apex, and the reason that you can't, well, the reason that you can with the Braille Note Touch is because they use the standard USB port to run the chargers. The Braille Note, and I don't even think you can do this with the U2 either.
You can't with the U2. No,
no,
you can't.
No,
but
no,
I'm not sure about the Polaris.
And isn't the battery life much better on the U2 than it is on this Braille Note Touch?
It's better. It's better on the U2.
Than it is on what?
On the Braille Note Touch.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and this is where some of the things, because it's kind of hard to talk about the Braille Note Touch and the L Braille and the U2 and the Apex in the same forum, because in a way the new note takers are kind of a step up above
Apex are on their way out, I guess, right?
Yes.
They're becoming obsolete. I have a question, if I might ask, about the HIMSS Braille note taker. Somebody was commenting on that they are so much more silent than Apex and so forth. Is that true?
I don't know. I mean, I never found my Apex to be that noisy. But,
no, I didn't.
You know, some people do, and I think it depends. You know, they may get noisier over time, but, you know, it's hard to tell with. I mean, if somebody beats on the keys, you know, they're going to get loose and rattly after a
while. Well, of course, the Braille Note Touch has that glass screen that you can type on. That's totally quiet.
Yeah.
That is one big thing they have that really is a plus if you like typing on glass, if you can get used to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Where is the B2G? I hear it didn't get a lot of good reviews, but where would the B2G figure in?
Would you like to hear the...
Since it's an Android?
Do you want to hear the sanitized version, or do you want to hear the truth?
The truth.
Truth.
The B2G is a piece of crap.
Okay, thank you.
and that's the best thing I can say about it.
I can't think what that is.
Who puts that out? Yeah.
It sounds familiar, but
well,
what's
National Braille Press?
National Braille Press.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
And Brian McDonald's.
Why is it a piece of junk? I'm just curious. I'm just trying
It's a piece of junk because they really, well, Brian McDonald has gotten this idea in his head that he was going to make a cheap, as in affordable, Braille note taker, something that was going to be half the price of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And he hired some smart people to help him, but he micromanaged them to death. And as a result, nothing has come out. And Brian McDonald has been a little bit like Captain Ahab. I mean, he is still looking for that whale. And everybody has been trying to tell him that, you know, not only is the whale gone, but the ocean that it's in may also be gone. And he says, oh, no, it's still out there. I know it's out there, and I'm going to find it. Well, good luck, Brian. You're the only one that believes you. I mean, so as a result, they brought it to market after 8 years of development. And if you, in these days, if you take 8 years to develop anything, you are so far behind the curve, you might as well just fold up your tent and go home. And that thing has been such an embarrassment that I went to NBP back last November, and they didn't even mention it to me. And this is NBP I'm talking about. They didn't even mention their own product.
Mm.
So, you know, they wish it. I think they wish it would go away. And I think it's going to. It was a very, very, very unsuccessful attempt at trying to work with Android operating system. As was the, what did they call that thing? It was the Braille Plus 18 that APH came out
with
a few years ago.
Oh, the APH product, yeah.
Again, nice idea, but they didn't really know what they were doing, and it just flat out didn't work. So what I want to do before, you know, without getting into a lot of the machines, I want to try and present to you what is the thing that can be limiting about note takers. One thing is that with the simple interface, and by simple interface I mean that the note takers use menus, very easy to follow menus. They're designed to work without a mouse, and it's very easy for the user. But sometimes that comes at a price, and the price is that they often have to develop software that is not standard to any operating system that anybody knows. And so as a result, the software they develop may or may not do the things that you want it to do. So, for instance, on a Braille note, you can write what they tell you are Word documents, but they're not Word documents. They're actually RTF files. And the same thing is true with the U2. Another problem that happens with most of these note takers, and I'm going to leave the big three of the new ones out of this right now because I don't quite know where we stand with them, but the older note takers, which is to say the Braille Note series, not the Braille Note Touch, but the Braille Note series and the U2 series, are both running on an ancient version of Windows, Windows CE. And Windows CE died before Windows XP even died. So that means that the software that's running on Windows CE, like Internet Explorer, is back at version 6. And we are now up to the current version of Internet Explorer is version 11. And even Internet Explorer is going away because it's going to be replaced by Edge and, you know.
Chrome.
So when you look at a note taker, you have to ask yourself, if number one, do I really want something that is just going to be a tool for my convenience, which is I can take notes, I can read the notes anywhere I want, I can carry it around, I don't have to worry about, you know, charging it. I can do some limited things on the Internet. But if I want to work in the world of the computer, then I've got to start thinking a little bit more carefully because, for instance, if I'm going to try and do fancy formatting, chances are I'm not going to be able to do it on my note taker. I may or may not be able to print the files that I produce and have people, they'll be readable enough. But if I want to make a presentation, say, for instance, I better assume that I'm going to have to go back to a real computer to get all the sophisticated formatting to come out the way it should. If I want to browse the internet, I can do some web pages on these older note takers, but there's a lot of them where they just don't work. And again, because they're tied to an operating system that's pretty much on life support at this point. I mean, it's really, I just don't hold much hope that it's going to last much longer. So, you know, when you look at all these things, you really just kind of have to ask, you have to make sure that you know what you expect the note taker to do, or you're going to be, you know, surprised in some very unpleasant ways.
Steve?
Yeah.
I find that what I want most right now with a note taker is to be able to bring things up like PDF files and things on a computer and have them come up on my note taker so that I can select things out of them and use them for my notes when I teach.
Right.
And mostly that does work pretty well on the Braille Note Touch. It worked very well on the U2.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to be careful about the Braille Note Touch will not let you do that to text files. They have to be docs files.
Well, see, again, we get into some of these crazy problems that are, I'm not even sure what they're the result of sometimes, but the note taker. Yeah, go ahead.
I think that Apex lets you do docs file now.
But they won't do text files, which is annoying to me.
Well, wait a minute. Let's hang on a second.
You can actually create. You can work with docs files, and you can say whether you want to view them or edit them. And
yes,
you can,
but when you go to save them, they're not docs files anymore.
Okay, then okay. But I have to say that I find that the note taker is very valuable when you want to do a lesson online via Skype or something. I was teaching, you know, if you have a sighted student especially, when you really don't want them to have to listen to a lot of jaws babbling and all kinds of stuff, and you want to read your notes and maybe write as you go along into the note that the student had trouble with this or this question, the note taker is a great tool there because then you, I mean, obviously if you have your notes printed out in Braille, that's one thing. But if you need the notes to be accessible, to interact with and update as you go, and he did pretty badly on that. Remember to cover that next time. You know, then that's where the note taker shines.
Well, that's right. But what you're doing is you're using that in conjunction because you said, for instance, you mentioned being on Skype.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know of any note taker right now except, and Gary, you can tell me if I'm wrong because I don't know whether this is true about the Braille Note Touch, but the only note taker that I know for sure that will work on Skype is the L-Braille, and that's because it's a Windows 10
Right. No, I mean, I use my desktop to do Skype.
Yeah.
You know,
I
use everything.
Yeah, and that's where I was going with that the way you're using it is the way I find I have to live. I can use the note taker to take notes, but when I need it, but I use it in conjunction with a PC. So, you know, both of those things are anywhere where I need a note taker. I mean, I've got the PC to do the heavy lifting, and the note taker as an independent device that I can do what you were just describing. And that, I think, is the best way to use note takers.
I do have a question, kind of in a comment. One of the things I found that I've been able to do with the U2 Mini is view PowerPoints without all of the rigmarole of doing them with JAWS so that when my students have done PowerPoint presentations, I've been able to sit and read along with what they're doing and grade the presentation much more mm-hmm. easily than if I had to use the a PC to do it. But will the newer versions, do you know if the newer note takers will actually let you write PowerPoint files, or does anyone know that?
Well, I can only speak to the L Braille a little bit, and the answer there would be probably yes, because it's a full Windows machine.
Okay.
Polaris, I don't know. Do you know anything? Have you heard anything about that, Susan?
I don't know anything about that. I can't answer that. No.
I've
like Don knows.
On the Polaris, you can use Sheets, the Google Sheets, which is supposed to be comparable to PowerPoints, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. They have that app in there, but it's not fully functional yet.
Okay.
Because I have one, and one of the problems.
I don't know if it works or not. I've never done. I didn't even know what it was.
You mean the Braille Note?
Braille Note Touch has Sheets, but I didn't know what it was. It's just an app that's available. So.
Well, and see, here's one of the other problems that I always have when somebody says, "I can use app XYZ and it's similar to something else." I go, okay, what are the differences? Because we all know that similar does not mean exact. And you can get seriously bitten if you don't understand what the differences are. And the manufacturers often are not willing to tell you because they want to sell a product, and so they will trumpet its virtues without declaring its vices.
You know, that becomes a major problem on the other end, like on my end. Obviously, if you're teaching sighted students, then you're planning for your own accessibility needs. But I'm a rehab counselor, and I have a young man right now who is probably not going to get a job where he's going to need to do a lot of computer-related work just because of the nature of his disabilities. It's obviously more than blindness. And the TVI and the people in the school decided that he really didn't need to be all that PC literate. Well, we have him now in a work experience where the employer is very upset because he can't generate his timesheet in a way that this employer happens to look at the timesheet every morning at a certain time. And because this young man is using a note taker, we've had to work on converting it, and the employer is saying, if I were looking to hire, this would be a big issue. Now, I think the employer is being a little anal about it, but this would be a really big issue for me, and is he going to be able to do this, and is he going to be able to do that? And all this is just a work experience, but we are finding increasingly that so many things that you would not think of, like a timesheet or like responding to a calendar invitation, are necessary even for somebody doing something like bagging. And I don't think TVIs always think of that.
Well, and again, what and part of the reason that I think they don't is because they don't fully understand the world that the note taker lives in. Unless it's most, like you mentioned, calendars, and for most people, calendar means Outlook calendar, not just any old calendar.
That's
The U2 has a calendar, but it ain't
That's
an Outlook
right.
calendar, and you're not going to be able to sync anything in the world with it. And I don't know about the Braille Note Touch. I do know with the L Braille, because it's a Windows machine, I can install Microsoft Office on it, and so I can have Outlook and an Outlook calendar. But, with some of the other note takers. Now, for instance, give you another example, and this is one of the nasty little surprises that can jump out and bite you. It's fairly common for many people to use Dropbox. And so you go out and you buy your U2, and it has Dropbox on. You say, oh, great, this is fantastic. And you load the thing up, and you set up your Dropbox account, and people are sharing files with you, and it's wonderful. And then all of a sudden, one day, you go on in there, and you can't sign in. And you go, well, did I forget my password? Oh, I'll retype it. Still can't sign in. Username? No, I know I got that right. Still can't sign in. What's the problem? Dropbox on the U2 is broken because Dropbox made some changes. And since the U2 is not using an operating system that supports the Dropbox software, HIMSS has had to write their own. So it means every time there's a slight change in anything that has to do with Dropbox, that software falls apart. And so then the folks at HIMSS spend the next 2 or 3 or 4 or however many days it takes them to scramble around and put out the fire of this third-party software that has failed.
Steve?
That
also, of course, on the YouTube happens with YouTube, where you'll be going along just fine, and then it just breaks. You have to wait till it's fixed. But what I was also going to say here is that I kind of feel like we're walking on some sort of a planet where the landscape keeps changing, and you know the oxygen tank that worked yesterday doesn't work today and stuff. Because, and it depends what note taker you're using. I was using the Polaris this week, and I was on a conference call with some people from the University of Hawaii, and they had some Google Docs, and they sent them over, and I went into Google Docs, and lo and behold, I could read it. I was thrilled. That was really, really exciting. Later in the same day, I got a note from a friend who was inviting me something, and there was this invitation site where you're supposed to go, couldn't open it up, you know? And it's funny, and the problem is, depending on which note taker you're using, you don't know which activity you can engage in and which one you can't.
That's right.
Or even whether you can talk with your friends. Polaris has a really funny little thing right now. If I send an attachment on a Polaris to somebody with a Windows computer, they can open it just fine. But if I send it to someone using a U2, there's no attachment there. So there's just funny little things that pop up, you know, no matter what you're using. And it's kind of like when phones, you know, stopped being run by one person. Everybody's in a state of having earthquakes here, and the tectonics down here where the note takers are shaken more than they are up in computer land from where I sit.
And part of the problem is that if you go to the manufacturer and you say to their salespeople, well, can my note taker do X or Y or Z? They'll say, well, of course it can. And you want to believe that, and then you get surprised. And then when you come back and say, but I just tried it and it didn't do it, they go, yeah, well, that's a problem, and we kind of know we got to work on that a little bit, and it'll get fixed in the next release, maybe.
Along with the improvements with the Polaris, does anyone know if it's as good as the U2 overall? I mean, because I really like the U2, but I'm stuck with this.
This is Susan. I'm using a Polaris now. I've been using it since July. I find that the answer to your question is not yet. It's getting there. It's got some advantages. It's faster on the internet. If you need to load something like a YouTube or you know a document, it's very fast at that. Some of the Google apps work. Some don't. But interestingly enough, considering how fast the processor is, it doesn't perform that much faster yet. And my feeling is that HIMSS is on to something with this product, but if you can hold out a little while, I would wait. Now, you can't wait too long if you need a note taker because things are starting not to work as well on the U2. Daily, there are fewer and fewer websites that you can get onto.
No.
The Polaris will create a doc, and it will come up as a doc. I mean, it really will come out as a Microsoft Word document. Some of that stuff's really working, but they've got some funny things going on with the word processor. And if you can wait, I would wait. I think it's going to be a really, really super product. But
if
you can wait, I would.
Is there any issue with using Braille files? Because on the Braille Note Touch, you can't listen to a Braille file. You can only read it.
I can listen to any file type I want to just about on a Polaris.
Yeah,
well,
they didn't impose that restriction on the Polaris that they did on the Braille Note Touch.
And what made that happen? Because that's a deal breaker for me, because I do a lot of things in Braille because I don't have to worry about how I write them.
Right.
And so then when they get switched over to something else, they don't look right. And then I have a mess. So
I think what happened was that HumanWare made a decision, for better or for worse, that the main type of – that they would work in the world of DOCX files, and that was just the way it was going to be.
Mm.
I don't know who they asked or if they asked anybody or what the technical constraints were of why they chose to do what they did. But they did it, and they kind of glossed it over when they sold everybody the Braille Note Touch. Because I remember at the meetings last summer, they kind of said, well, yeah, you know, you don't really have to worry about that. I mean, everything is going to be, you know, it's going to be DOCX all the way. And, you know, we were supposed to all be very happy about that. And,
well, I wish I'd known it, because that's, or if I did know, I didn't quite understand all the ramifications of it.
Yes.
So I am stuck with a Braille Note Touch that I'm not going to use. So I hope eventually I find somebody who's just dying to have one. Because I can't think of any reason to keep it.
Well, and for you, there probably isn't one.
One thing about the Braille Note Touch, you were talking about being careful when people are selling you these products. They told us that it had a Victor Reader on it, and that really excited me.
Yeah.
Well, it does have a Victor Reader on it. However, it's not a complete Victor Reader. It doesn't have the record function, which is a function that I really wanted. So if you want to record, you have to go get a recorder off the internet.
Yep.
So if you're coming from a U2, it really is not a good...
If you're coming from a U2, it's a step down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately... My Apex is, eventually it'll have to be replaced and on the way out, and I haven't really seen anything that I liked yet in detail. What would be the best way to go, like an L Braille or...
Take my Braille Note Touch.
No, I think it's so important for people to think about
one thing that you might think about, and I know if you could get a 40-cell display and a PC, that pairing gives you kind of the best of those two worlds.
I'm about to do it.
Yeah.
But it's not very portable.
Who's the person talking about the Braille Note Touch?
Okay,
wait. We're starting to climb all over each other like puppies in the puppy bin.
We're having a pile up here.
Yeah,
and you can't do that in this. So let's try and take them sort of one at a time. Now nobody speaks.
Well, I'm wanting to know the person that said that the Braille Note Touch was not working at all. I'm trying to understand why.
It's not that it doesn't work at all. It's that it's so different from what I had that I find the functionality for me would be. Getting diminishing returns because I haven't really taken much of a look at it because I've watched Gary with it and he struggles. It would slow me down for what I really care about doing. I'm not going to do a whole bunch of stuff with Google, whatever all they have on there.
Primarily for a note taker, right?
I do a lot of word processing. And so,
okay.
That's what I care, and I would probably do things on the web, but that's my...
And it will not, and the big drawback of the Braille Note Touch, it will not deal with text files. And a lot of our files were text files.
Because
we ended up having to convert them on the computer.
Meaning not docs files, but TXT
files. No, it will not handle text files. Yeah, only docs.
And the thing is, it doesn't have a converter. If only it had some way that it could see your files, even if it couldn't let you work with them, and convert them to whatever it needs to have, then I maybe could live with that.
Yep.
But
this is Susan. I think when and if Polaris solves its word processing problems, you may like it. That's my stock in trade is writing, and I'm struggling with it right now, but I think you're going to have less of that
That's what I kind of thought, because I already like the HIMS product, so I was hoping,
But now... But as I said, hang on to your wallet just a little while, because they still need to do some things they're not doing.
May I say something?
Yeah,
sure.
One of the things that I'm concerned about is the training curve. And what I mean by that is there are a lot of sighted teachers, TVIs, who don't know Braille that well. And when you start coming out with new products like the Polaris or the BrailleNote Touch, changing things, they're not quick to I've had problems in the past with them learning it. And then I had a student that had to switch from Apex to the BrailleNote Touch. She was a very good student, but the problem was taking the time to switch over from Apex to BrailleNote Touch.
Yeah.
And sometimes these things are not considered by manufacturers.
Well, I can echo that, Andre, because that happened to one of my best friends, and she's had her touch for a year, and her life sort of stopped for a while because everything she was doing on the Apex she was having trouble with.
It seems to me, then, that if you're a very good Braille user, the BrailleNote Touch would be a shot in, you know, that would be a big toe, bite in your big toe. That would stop
you.
Yes. You wouldn't be able to do any of the stuff that you do quickly and effortlessly with Braille, which is the stuff for yourself, the stuff that you work with, and then, you know, because I believe that, as you say, that the PC with the Braille display is a wonderful work tool, but there are times when, for portability purposes, I use the Apex all the time when the phone rings. I'm a telephone interpreter also.
Right.
And I just want something to do quick notes, because you're supposed to talk to somebody at the net. You have 1 second that they
That's
say,
right.
Hello, can you take a call? You know, there's nothing that beats the
no,
Apex.
No, there's not. I do the same thing. You're
yeah.
right.
Well, and so I think as we go round and round, and we could probably spend another hour at least getting into the, you know, various differences and which note takers are good, which ones are bad, which ones are indifferent. But I really think a couple of things come clear. Number one is that when you go to buy whatever note taker you choose, do a lot of research. Don't buy one on impulse, because you will almost definitely be sorry. Number two, understand that there is no one-size-fits-all answer. I mean, if I can tell you my reasons for buying an L Braille, Susan can tell you her reasons why she likes the Polaris. Both of us may have good and bad things to say about the U2 or the Apex, or the Braille Note Touch. We've heard from Gary and Ninette that, though, the frustrations that they've gone through with the Braille Note Touch. Don't rely on just the manufacturers, because the manufacturers are out to sell their product. And it's not even so much a question of ethics as it is that they are behind the eight ball, because if they don't sell them, they won't even have the resources to produce them. So they're going to do whatever they can to make their sales jump to the top of the charts. And that, by the way, was one of the problems with the Braille Note Touch, is that they knew that the Polaris was coming out, and they wanted to get the drop on them first.
Yep.
And in the process of doing that, they took some huge shortcuts that they shouldn't have taken.
They did.
And now they're locked into stuff that I don't think they can get out of, and I think it may cost them. I don't know. So,
could you talk a little bit about the L Braille? Because I was in California, and I managed to go to have a demonstration to an outfit in Santa Rosa, but JAWS was hanging up, so I couldn't really go. I could not get a good idea. I couldn't do anything, basically.
Okay.
And I found that the L Braille looked a little bit clunky. I mean, I know that looks aren't everything, but it felt kind of like a clunker.
Well, first of all, let me say that my reason for buying the L Braille was because I've gotten so frustrated with the different ways that note takers that the note takers in the past have kind of tangled me up. I wanted something that, like any other note taker, was very portable, but I really wanted something that had the full, as near as I could get to the full functioning of a Windows machine.
Mm-hmm.
And the L Braille is a fully functioning Windows machine. It's not a high-powered one, but it does run, it will run Windows 10, which is the latest version. And Microsoft these days is making Windows so that it works with every kind of device that's capable of, you know, it works with mobile, with, you know, with tablets, it works with desktops, it works with laptops. And so I thought this would be a good choice for me.
Mm-hmm. Does it allow you to enter foreign characters, you know, if you write in different languages and so forth?
It will if you put the right programs on it. I mean, if you want to sit there and just write your own notes that you never give to anybody else, then yeah, you can type anything you want.
No, but if you want it, you actually want the 2, 3, 4, 6 to be set and be recognized that by, but you know, can you get that to happen?
I think you could, but I think what you would have to do is you'd have to load software onto the machine that was capable of converting whatever keystrokes you had. And this is only a guess. I'm not even sure I can answer that question, but except to say that you would have to address the problem in the same way you would with your Windows desktop.
See, because I can do that easily there, you know.
Because you have Microsoft Word and you can type the proper control plus
yes.
whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might even have to hook up a regular keyboard to it because you might not be able to get all that functionality out of the Braille keys by themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you choose to go down the path of buying an L Braille, you will get a machine that has quite a bit of power, but you're going to have a pretty good background in PC technology to figure out how to do the things you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that I feel like I'm dodging your question, and I don't mean to be, but I honestly don't.
You're not alone, Steve.
I don't have a good answer for you.
How large is it, Steve?
Pardon?
How large is the L Braille?
Let's see. The L Braille is, I don't have exact sizes, but I want to say it's probably about 8 inches across, or maybe a little bit wider than a Perkins style keyboard where the keys are all pushed together. It's probably about 4 inches deep and about an inch and a half high.
Oh, okay.
So it's not big. And one thing that is kind of nice about it for me is that 14-cell display can be taken out and paired with something else if I want to. So I have, for instance, I have a desktop where I don't have a Braille display, but if I want one, I can just grab the Focus 14 out of my L Braille and connect it to my desktop computer, and I'm flying with a 14-cell display.
Oh, it's not a 40.
No.
No.
They do have a 40, but they haven't started selling it yet. Now, see,
oh,
you know,
the L
Braille? Convention, it, yeah, the L Braille.
Yeah.
Now, if you went to the convention this summer and you went to Freedom Scientific's booth, you would swear that the 40 cell was out there already.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's not.
Well,
they said
it wasn't.
Well, they said it wasn't, but if you didn't listen real carefully, you might not, you know, because they had one that they had a prototype that was there. And you sit there
when
and you
When is
go,
that coming out, do we know?
I thought I had heard it was going to be sometime around the end of October or early November, and I don't really know if that's been delayed. So, I mean, it's coming, and it's coming fairly soon, but I don't know when.
Can I say something about displays? Because I heard that they're coming out with this for Focus with this fifth generation, and I heard that you could store data, just like with HIMS Edge, you have, you can put in an SD card. So if you just had the display, you could take notes and then dump it later. Mm-hmm. And is that why they have the delay, because this is supposed to be a new type of focus?
Well,
does anybody know about that?
The L-Braille 40 is a whole different machine, because and what's going to have to happen with that is, unlike the L-Braille that I have, where you can dock the Braille display
it will be one unit.
It's going to be one unit, yeah.
40.
But that's a kind of a separate thing from what you're talking about, Andre, where they've got the that fifth generation Focus 40, mm-hmm. which is going to be its own standalone display, and I don't know if that's going to be I don't think it's going to be dockable with the L-Braille 40
okay.
cell. I think that's going to be, you kind of have to make a choice. But it would be a good question, and if you think you're going to go down that route, I would really hold Freedom Scientific's feet to the fire and make them answer the question, you know, and not pull any punches.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Now, if you want to go to the CSUN convention and so forth, and what are the things that you do? You have to. Can you get? How much does it cost, basically? And you pay for all that, or can you get rehab to pay for some of that, or what's people's experience with that?
I don't know. I've never been to a CSUN convention, so I don't know how it would cost. I think the answer as to whether rehab would pay for it is if you can convince them that it's necessary to your job, maybe they would. You might even be able to work out a deal with your employer if you could convince your employer that it was necessary for the job. But I think the answer for that part of it is that it depends.
This is Susan. That is true. And the registration, as I remember 2 years ago, was something like $700, and which is not – conferences are like that. I mean, I know that sounds huge. I think we in the blindness community get used to, you know, these really economical prices, and a lot of academic conferences, you know, will be $500 or $600 or $700. Now, if you just want to go and look at the displays, the convention, you don't necessarily want to go to any seminars, and you just want to check out exhibits, then you can do that for free at CSUN.
Oh, you can. Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can.
Steve, when you were talking about the L-Braille, which you now have and probably are expert at, knowing you.
No, not yet. I'm working on it.
Can you tell us some of the, do you know, what do you perceive of some of the faults or some of the things you should look out for if you're considering that, things that you might expect it to do that it won't, or steep learning curve or anything like that?
Specifically on that machine?
Yeah.
The first thing, and I'm going to answer this question somewhat because I know your background and your kind of, you know, what kind of a note taker you have now. Carla's using an Apex right now. For you, I think the L-Braille would be extremely frustrating because in addition to having to deal with pretty much strictly a Windows interface, you also have to learn how to input all of the Windows commands and all of the JAWS commands that you'll ever use using eight Braille keys and some other buttons on the machine. So even for me, when you say I'm an expert, I have to tell you, I've kind of played with my L-Braille for a month pretty much nonstop before I got to feeling comfortable enough that I could do things with reasonable facility. And even now, if I'm tired, it just all goes to hell in a hurry. Because it's not, you know, I'm not using a regular keyboard to do these things. I, for instance, just to close a program, I have to use, I have to press space, .6 and .8. No. Space, see, I have to even think about it. Space, .1, .6, and .8, followed by the letter D And that's how you do an Alt-F4.
No, never mind that.
So you really have to want a Windows machine, or you have to be stubborn and perverse like I am, because otherwise the El Braille is going to drive you crazy.
What kind of documentation does it come with?
One user guide that kind of has all of the commands in there if you know what to look for, but it's pretty brief. I mean, it's typical, to me anyway, typical documentation that you get on most devices these days, which is not very good. It's a much better reference than a teaching thing.
Yeah.
If you can find somebody that had one and sit down with them and have them show you things, that is probably the best way to learn, unless you're just willing to sit there and beat it to death and get very frustrated and take a lot of time. And I would say lose hair, but I don't have any hair to lose, so, you know, it's...
And this doesn't come in Braille, right?
No, it's on the machine, so you have to, you know, and that's another thing that's really...
You have to know how to use the machine to get to the help.
To get to the stuff that tells you how to use the machine. That's right.
That's one real advantage of the Braille Note Touch, is that they have a tutorial by Kim from, what's that?
Big Access.
Yeah, I can't think of the name.
Mr.
Anyway,
Big Access.
It's pretty well done.
Yeah.
So you do get a lot of help,
really
almost too much help from that.
But
has anybody seen the Neo Braille?
The what?
No.
That's supposed to come in soon. That's supposed to be an Android-based, very fast Braille note taker.
I've heard the name, but I haven't seen it yet.
What about the
what
Orbit?
Braille?
Neo Braille, yeah. And
where is it coming from? Is it coming from overseas or something?
No, it's going to be marketed here by IRIE-AT.
But they're not the ones who make it. Is that Baum's a Baum?
No, it's not. I forgot who's making it.
I've seen the name.
You can probably Google it.
As an NAIL Braille?
No,
it's NEO. Neo.
Neo Braille. Oh.
Neo Braille.
Okay.
Yeah.
Neo Braille. Okay, I was thinking, I couldn't tell what you'd said. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, yeah. No,
no,
Neo
good.
Braille.
Does
Neo
anyone
Braille,
know
okay.
anything about the Orbit? I mean, I know it's not exactly a note taker, but it is a reader.
I was trying to ask that, too.
Yeah, well, the Orbit, I saw and worked with at the workshop at the ACB convention. And although, you know, it's primarily a reader, you can do some note taking and save it to an SD card, but it doesn't have sophisticated word processing in it.
Oh, it has no word processing.
Yeah, but what happened to it?
Oh, it's out there. I think APH is selling it now.
Yeah, they're selling.
Really? I haven't seen anything that it's available.
Well, that's a good question, because I think the way that was supposed to work was the first or most of the sales were supposed to go to libraries, and then the libraries were supposed to distribute them.
Something seems to have happened to that process. I don't know what, but when I spoke to APH a few weeks ago, I don't think it was out yet.
I don't think it was either, and I don't understand what the delay is, and everybody's been very mysterious about it. So, you know,
it's being made in India.
Yeah.
And something seems to have gotten hung up with the process.
Except that I think they've been selling them in Europe already for a while.
Well, that's interesting.
So this is all in the murky world of rumors and innuendo, and we don't really know what's going on. I mean, it's that does seem to be kind of the truth about a lot of these things. You hear about this stuff, and, you know, it's coming, and then all of a sudden nothing happens for a year.
Does anyone know anything about a multi-line display that...
The Blytab?
Yes.
It's being done in Europe. I think it's...
Did it disappear from
No, it's just... No, it's just that it's not ready yet.
Yeah, it's...
Well,
it's there's a prototype that have appeared.
Again, yes. I think it was supposed to be available. And
well, if it hasn't come out of the prototype stage, it's not available.
Yeah.
Well, but right, but all this stuff, there seems to be so much delay.
Well, a lot of times I think what happens is that, one of two things happens. Either they hit technical snags that nobody anticipated, or they run out of money.
Yes, yes.
And remember that even though we think note-takers are incredibly expensive, the companies that are making them are really running on a very, very, very thin margin.
Right. Right, I'm sure.
They have almost no resources. I mean, I don't know, say, for instance, at HIMSS, but I would be willing to bet they probably don't have more than 4 or 5 programmers.
Mm.
And if you compare that to something like Microsoft, where they probably have, 500, 1,000, 1,500 people all working on stuff, I mean, there's just no substitute for numbers. I mean, and all the note-taker companies are just so small and are stretched so thin for resources that, that's a lot of... So, for instance, now HIMSS is supporting the Polaris, and they're working like crazy to fix it. And I think what that's going to mean, even though they haven't said so, is that you're going to see less and less support for the U2 because it's old and it's... operating system is about to roll over and die.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just not going to put the resources into it because they've got bigger fish to fry.
Right.
Okay, does anyone know if Baum is coming out with anything new? Because their Pronto, I think, operates off of the old Windows CE system, doesn't it?
It may. I haven't looked into that one, but again, they may be, but if they are, I haven't heard too much about it.
Because I know the Vario is just absolutely, I mean, the way it feels is just beautiful, but it's not a very sophisticated note taker.
Correct.
But the Pronto didn't seem like it does anything different
than... All that spectacular either.
So what's the problem with the Vario?
Well, I don't think it can do all of, some of the more sophisticated operations that some of the other note takers can. And
well,
I can't think right off the top of my head.
Can you do word processing, or is it? Are you talking about?
I'd hate to say for sure, Gudrun, because I can't remember. I just remember looking at it, going, I'd really like this for the Braille reading and to be able to use it with my iPhone, but I didn't like it as far as the functionality compared to my U2.
Mm. Well, and that's the other thing to remember, that now we're getting into another area that when I say note takers, I mean things that have a certain amount of ability to do, computer-like tasks. In other words, that might have a word processor, however simple it may be. And I don't mean a text editor, because to me, a text editor is just something you open up a file and you write in ASCII and you save it, and that's about all you can do. But when I'm talking about a word processor, I mean something that might be capable of changing the font, doing bolding, doing underlining, doing that sort of thing at the very least, and maybe other formatting as well.
See, and I don't know what that one will do. I don't know.
I don't think that does much of anything more than just a Braille display with a little bit of onboard file storage capability, kind of like the Edge and kind of like some of the other displays, like Alva makes the BC640, I think, is in that category.
Well, that all said, then, someone such as myself, it doesn't sound like there's really anything out there that's attractive, or what do you think the best way to go will be when I eventually have to find something?
I think if they can get the bugs out of the Polaris, I think that'd be ideal for you, Carla. Honestly,
I agree with that, and I'm playing with one, and I can tell you about the bugs. And you know, I would just hold on to your hat a little bit, and let's see where that goes. Something I wanted to say, and I wanted to acknowledge here too, as a moderator here. It's 6:20, and anybody, I heard some people drop off. If you need to go, you know, that's okay. Is it okay to say that, Steve?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I, like everyone else here, I love note takers, and I haven't been using a PC since I retired, and I love them. My problem is that I want to, as a writer, communicate fluently in the sighted world and not look like a ninny,
yeah.
And I can't be sure of what final products come out of these machines. Mm-hmm. And I remember even when I was teaching using Microsoft Word and my PC, not having a Braille display, having weird things happen where a colleague would look and say, whoop, that bowl didn't turn off or something, and I thought JAWS had told me something it hadn't. I am dying for a system that will let me be an equal writer in a world of professional people. And I just, it's making me crazy.
I think you need a note taker and a PC too.
Well, I think you're right.
That's what I have, and I could not do without either one.
Yeah, because it's like you said, it's fine. If you really want to talk to everybody, you've
mm-hmm.
got to do it.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you, it's amazing what I've been able to tweak my Apex into doing. Sometimes it will lose the double spacing, you know, and you tell it to do that, or the columns. And as clunky as it is, sometimes I've put page numbers on and I've double-spaced and I've written macros to do languages because I have to do multiple lingual documents sometimes. And the bolding and everything does work. So I have actually produced some pretty good-looking stuff with my Apex.
Now, the Braille Note Touch is supposed to have a good language facility, though I have not really tried it. Gary, you're not...
I haven't done much with it, but it does do Latin very well. Of course, that's not very hard.
Yeah, but you haven't actually gone to the...
It even shows the long marks, which it should.
So maybe, Carla, you want...
Actually, Carla, that's one strong point of the Braille Note Touch is that it does seem to do language. It does have some really good language tables and...
But it's got some huge... deficits.
Carla,
does.
is your Apex working well right now?
Oh yeah, it is.
Hold on a while. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Just hold your hat and wait a little bit and let's see where
I love it. I want to keep it as long as I can because it really does everything I need it to do now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and yours is fairly new. You haven't had it. I mean, I've had mine for 7 years, and I've had my Braille Sense for 4. And so it's like, okay, do I need to trade in or get something else? And I'm not sure what I want. I mean, for what I use it for in retirement, they
okay,
work
I'm going to sign
well.
Off. Bye, everybody.
Nice. Thank you so much for coming and participating. It's great.
Yeah, thank you.
Did you say you have a Braille Sense and a Apex?
Yeah, I do.
Do you use them both? I mean, are you have you dropped one now and are using the other more or?
I think I use the Braille Sense more. What I like on the Braille Sense is I like where the buttons are to go forward and backward for reading Braille on the top instead of the thumb buttons on the front.
That really is a nice thing that they did.
Yeah, I like that. I can go faster. Excuse me. I do think it's a little quieter when writing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been taking it mainly for notes. I think it's a little lighter than the Braille Note, I'm not sure. Also, the battery life is better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, it could be because mine's 7, it's 4
well,
years old.
Well, that may
the
be,
other
you may
seven.
Need a new battery.
I hate those thumb keys. My stomach hits those thumb keys and screws me up something terrible. Like some, if I'm carrying it, you know, and trying to take notes on it without a desk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, and I... There are things I can do on it I can't do on the Braille Note. I mean, I probably use it more, the Braille Sense more, because it's newer, it does things, and I've still got a lot of stuff on the Braille Note, so I go over it to it when I for some things, and, you know, some it just varies, but I do think I use the Braille Sense more. I just bought a new laptop an HP laptop that's running Windows 10, and I've had it 3 days, and I swore at it last night, and Jenna came right over to
reprimand you.
Yeah.
Probably.
Well, guys, I kind of feel like I've pretty much said what I want to say, and I don't mind if we keep the discussion going, but I'm kind of want to put an official end on this so that, A, I can stop the recording, and, you know, B, if people feel like dropping off, they can do that. But I want to thank you all for being here, and I think, from my point of view, I think this has been a real good discussion of note takers, and I hope that you all have gotten something out of it.
Thank you for doing it.
Yeah, you did a wonderful job.
A very good job.